I have likely mentioned before that 20th century theologian and Unitarian minister, the Reverend James Luther Adams, suggested church is a place where you get to practice what it means to be human. Church is a place where you get to practice what it means to be human. I want to focus today on that word, practice. Not church or human, but practice. The idea that we are willing in this place to try things on for size, to work with an idea, not just intellectually, but experientially as well. We spoke about prayer last week, for example, opening the construct up to suggest prayer as a form of reaching out, an expression of humility, of celebration, of wonder that can be practiced or experienced in so many different ways, in justice work, in contemplation, in meditation, in walking, in dancing, in feasting. The intention to prayer being the impulse, the inclination, and the practice. The Unitarian Universalist History and Heritage Society writes that James Luther Adams insisted that our language, the language of the liberal free church, must be richly flexible, not doctrinaire. People can die, he often said, from hardening of the categories. Adams mourned the confused weakness of liberal churches whose members will not strive in the ongoing mutual dialogue of their church to examine and explain their own personal, central, essential loyalties. Paraphrasing Socrates, he said, "An unexamined faith is not worth having." So in the midst of our world, which is in tumult always, and with more concerns than we can count, we take some time today to attend to the spirit of the examined faith and challenge ourselves with the idea of Lent and what it might be for us. Why Lent, you might ask? Because it is now, and it is a part of the history of our tradition, the segment of 40 days in the Christian church and the Christian calendar from Ash Wednesday to Easter that has been fairly routinely observed for centuries. If we don't examine it, we sell ourselves short an opportunity to understand a universal practice of abstinence as a precursor to transformation. I mentioned in my e-news note this week that abstinence, and by that I mean self-restraint in any number of different ways that it's chosen, is not only a Christian practice. We know that Muslims fast all day for the month of Ramadan. Jews eat no leavened breads during the Passover week. Most devout Indians fast regularly or on special occasions in order to regain a sense of clarity and appreciation for the holy. Our Buddhist friends go to sashin and take time out of life as usual to meditate for longer periods. Many, if not most, faith traditions have some element of doing without as a pathway to new life. I'm one who came out of the Episcopal tradition. We were told as children to give things up for Lent. So I'm not entirely surprised that we Unitarian Universalists have set it aside, that many of us ignore it. Some of us may even feel annoyed by it or wounded by it. And there may be some of us who are largely unfamiliar with it altogether. So we recall for a moment that Jesus is said to have used this time, the month or more before returning to Jerusalem, which is during Holy Week. He used this time for discernment, his days in the garden being time set aside for reflection and for questioning his path. If it is familiar to you, this period of Lent, I suspect some of our hesitation about engaging with it has to do with its traditional focus. Particularly, though not exclusively, on suffering, giving up to suffer as a means by which to feel more in tune with the suffering Christ. No doubt Jesus suffered on the cross. Crucifixion is reported to be one of the most painful ways to die. But I'm not really sure I understood as a child what giving up candy for Lent had to do with the suffering Jesus, only having been told, this is what we do. Between this day and this day, Ash Wednesday and Easter, we give up things. Sometimes in more liberal homes, you got Sunday off because it was the day of rest, after all. In fact, this practice, this contemporary 40-day practice, which was reaffirmed in the 20th century after long periods of disuse, did not start until the 7th century or so, which is still a long time ago, but not exactly a biblical requirement, which is to say that humans have created this practice. Prior to the 7th century, all manner of abstinence was experimented with in the evolving Christian church, from a 40-hour fast to a 2-week pre-Easter period to a 36-day fast representing 1/10 of a year. As a young child, I remember hearing that my Catholic friends ate fish only on Fridays. How many of us grew up that way? I'm not sure I ever understood that either. And apparently this religious rule, in post-Reformation England at least, was avowedly subordinate to a political motive to prevent the ruin of the fisheries, which were the great nursery of English seamen. Thus, the statute of 2 and 3 Edward VI, which was in 1549, while inculcating that, quote, due and godly abstinence from flesh is a means to virtue, added that by the eating of fish, much flesh is saved to the country, and that thereby, too, the fishing trade is encouraged. Clear evidence for England, at least, that separating the motives of church and state had not quite arrived. Whatever role the period of Lent continues to play in the Christian church, Catholic or Protestant, it has not seen much play in Unitarian Universalist environments for quite a while, for at least, 30 to 50 years or so. For one thing, Unitarian Universalists have by and large separated ourselves from the idea that Christ suffered for our benefit, that he died to save our sins. We hold that children are born in love, not damaged and not carrying the brokenness of the world in their infant state due to the failure of Adam and Eve to resist the forbidden fruit. It was Augustine who suggested that if Christ did not die to save our sins, our original sins, then his death would have been in vain. A bit of backward reasoning, I think, and we Unitarian Universalists have eschewed the concept of original sin for many years now. But let's go back to our charge from James Luther Adams that people can die from a hardening of the categories and ask ourselves what we lose when we eschew a practice that might assist us on our road to becoming, that might enliven our spiritual fatigue, for surely we all get weary, we all get discouraged. When despair for the world grows in me and I wake in the night at the least sound in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty, on the water, and the great heron feeds. I come into the place of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. For a time I rest in the grace of the world and am free. I give up my despair. I give up my fear and my grief and choose to rest in the grace of the world. That is a spiritual practice. Naomi Shihab Nye reminded us that with sadness there is something to rub against, a wound to tend with lotion and cloth. But we can choose to set aside our sadness, or at least practice the possibility of giving it up. Everything has a life of its own, she says. It too could wake up filled with possibilities of coffee cake and ripe peaches and love even the floor which needs to be swept, the soiled linens that Henry left, the scratched records. We might add love even for the leaking walls, the unpredictable boiler, the faulty breezeway floor, the long list of to-dos. We can practice setting aside our cares and measure our lives instead with happiness for what can be. The happiness that lands on the roof of the next house singing. We shrug, we raise our hand, and it flows out of us into everything we touch. This can be our Lent, practicing the letting go of the habits that hold us down, that hold us back. Instead of suffering, we can find our practice in possibility. We could use this time as discernment, as questioning, to alleviate suffering, to increase joy and love, rather than to participate in it. It may be that our habits of practice risk becoming a sort of idolatry of their own when our imaginations stop at the edge of definitions handed down to us or over to us from elders or from years of institutional rigor. We do this with worship, with Sabbath practice, with prayer, as though there were a right way or an only way to reach or experience the Spirit, to feel compassion, to be moved. Religious imagination, I think, calls us to examine the pieces, to search for the beauty and value, particularly in those that have found universal meaning, these practices that range. Lent, as a period of time set aside to do things differently, to give up the habitual and feel the difference as a result, can be instructive for us, can rejuvenate us. Every week at the Unitarian Universalist Association, a different staff member leads a short worship service. I happened to be visiting one year during Lent when a woman from the accounting office was offering her thoughts. She had decided to do something different that year, to forget about giving up coffee or chocolate or desserts in general or late nights out or excessive drinking. She had decided to give up sarcasm. Think about it. Some of us are more naturally sarcastic than others, but all of us have the potential for cryptic humor that often gets expressed at someone else's expense, whether they're present or not. Sarcasm is a great way to feel kind of clever. And she was a seriously funny woman. But she had decided to try giving it up. And she told us she had 40 days to practice. The great news was, she said, she didn't have to give it up forever. And she figured she could last 40 days. That was the beauty of it. Since we didn't see her at the end of her Lenten efforts, I'm not sure how she felt by Easter, but there is the possibility that she learned a thing or two about herself and about how she relates to situations and to people, and maybe it left her feeling different somehow. Dare I say, reborn? What would you choose to practice with this Lent? And since this sermon is coming more than halfway through, you can thank me. There are fewer than like 22 days left or something till Easter. You don't even have to last 40 days. If you were to consider giving something up with the intention of learning something about yourself, say, what might it be? Old habits die hard. And we are beyond our friend Henry's 7 years, and so perhaps more accustomed to our ways. But there are things we recognize we might be better off without, no doubt. Our friend chose sarcasm. What about self-recrimination? Does it help us to give ourselves such a hard time? What about impatience? What about indifference? What might that feel like? Or anger? Giving up resentment? Galen Gingrich is the senior minister at All Souls Church in New York City. Faith, he says, is a commitment to live as if certain things are true and thereby help to make them so. Faith is a commitment to live as if life is a wondrous mystery, as if life is good, and if love is divine, as if love is divine, and as if we are responsible for the well-being of those around us. Faith is a leap of the moral imagination that connects the world as it is to the world as it might become. It takes practice, and that's what Lent is all about. Let's not let our categories be hardened by our lack of religious imagination. It has the potential this time to awaken us to what we have been missing or overlooking. The wood drake, happiness, justice, compassion, love. These are things the world needs in great abundance. Ours, yours, can be a faith to make it so. Let's get busy practicing together. So may it be.